What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am so excited for today's show. I have two amazing guests. One who's one of my favorite authors, one of the first shows I did, Mr. Don Jeffries, and then, of course, The Odd Man Out. So, Don, I'll introduce you first. Thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing today? How's everything been going?
Good. Thanks for having me, Jack. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Nice. And Odd Man, thank you as well, and welcome. And how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. It's great to be with you, and I'm so glad that I could finally make it. I apologize for having to not being able to make the show a couple of times, but my schedule is freed up, and so I'm here, and I'm happy.
All right. Oh, I love it. So I told you guys briefly what I was hoping to talk about. So first, I'll pull up this. I thought this was such an awesome like map, and it's from 2017, so it's about food shortages. One sec here. Let me just pull it. I have it all ready to go. All right. There we go. So it basically, obviously, I think like a food shortage is coming in one way or the other. So this map's from 2017, but it shows the world of which countries import and export the majority of their food. So like red is they import 75% of their food, which is Africa, some parts of South America, which is totally mind-boggling to me. And then like America here, we export 10 to 34%. Ukraine exports like more than 34%. So I just wanted, I don't know, I hope you guys can see that okay, but I just wanted your takes, and we'll start with Don, on like this pending doom of food insecurity or food scarcity. And if you think that's a possibility or if that's maybe coming, and I just wanted your guys' take. So Don, I'd love to start with you and let me know what you see or what you think is going to happen in that regard.
Well, you know, we're living in these times of it's perpetual fear porn. Obviously, the last 2 years with the COVID narrative took the cake, but the food shortage thing, it's just one thing after another. You know, one of my favorite characters, Ed Grimley, used to say, "We're doomed as doom can be." And it just seems like everything, you know, it's just nothing but doomster type stuff nonstop. I don't know how you run out of food. I don't know how you run out of water. There's no reason for this. And it's amazing that right after Joe Biden assured us there was going to be food shortages, just really for no reason, because most people don't know the U.S. government has had a policy for going back a century. And, you know, my hero Huey Long castigated the government back in the 1930s for paying farmers to destroy crops or to not grow crops. That's still their policy. So it's a curious policy to have and to cling to when you supposedly have a food shortage. But Biden was amazingly intuitive, because he predicted this food shortage. And then suddenly all of these food supply places started burning down, and you had two separate plane crashes that crashed into food storage facilities. I'd like to know what the odds of that are. and again, nobody looks into any of these things, but it's astonishing. And on top of that, you have the, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but you know, really should be stocking up water, because they're serious about this. So we haven't had any appreciable drought, you know, as opposed to any other year. Go back and watch the movie, The Grapes of Wrath, and the Dust Bowl years during the Depression.
Great point.
I don't remember them talking about any water shortage then. So why would we have a water shortage now? But like, you know, California claimed it was running out of water, I don't know, 15 years ago, whenever the governor was out there. And apparently they forgot about the desalination plants that have been around for decades. And they're right next to the Pacific Ocean. I think you could probably figure out a way to get water if you needed it. But this is where we're at. The leaders, they just throw these things out there. The public is so stupid that you have people like me and a few others that mention it, things like that, and they just give you a blank look. They're that dumb. And you don't have anybody out there. There's no politician, nobody that's speaking common sense. They're all playing into this. Everybody should be saying this is absurd. There is no food shortages. Is the FBI or anybody investigating this wrath of the food facility plants burning? And I know it wasn't Russia. Don't blame it on Putin. And plane crashes going into it. You know, let's you know, have somebody try to prod these people and to expose their corruption.
So do you think you're saying that you don't think, do you think it's like if there is a food shortage, it would be a created scenario?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And how would we, I mean, there's no reason why we would have a food shortage. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's there just like we wouldn't have a water shortage. It's not like we've gone through an unprecedented time where, you know, it didn't rain for a year or something in parts of the country. That's never happened before. Nothing like that has happened.
Right.
We have droughts all the time, and we haven't had any unforeseen droughts. And as far as food, again, you know, there are lots of ways to get the food. I talk about this all the time. Every restaurant in the country throws away incredible amounts of food every night. And, you know, this is the wisdom of our fantastic leaders, because they're scared they might sue the restaurant. As I pointed out many times, all you got to do is put a disclaimer right there for everybody to read.
True.
You know,
that's
you
true.
Eat this food, you know, we have no liability. I bet you hungry people would be happy to do that, but they don't do that. And they haven't stopped telling the farmers to stop growing crops or to throw away food. Remember during COVID a couple of years ago where we had, they claimed all the weird, they were throwing away, I think they were destroying hogs and things like it. And at the same time, restaurants had food shortages. And I was going crazy. Is nobody else noticing this? What do you mean you have shortages at restaurants, but farmers are throwing away food? Nobody, you know, one of my favorite talking points, Jack, for years, and it's never been more appropriate now. I've said that you could put any random group of preschoolers in charge of this country, and they do it. And you could get any random group of death row inmates and you could put them in charge and they'd be more principled. Well, that's where we're at with leadership.
man, where do you stand on this? Is it real? Is it coming? What is your take on the future of food?
Well, I agree with Don. I just don't see how we would run out of food here in the States. And, you know, he made me think of something else. I was trying to pull it up, but I don't see it now. But I remember looking a few years ago, I want to say it was in the 50s, and they found out that the government was actually paying farmers not to farm. So they actually found that unconstitutional. And the way they got around that was they changed the law from an agricultural law to some sort of soil conservation law, and they continue to do that. And it's really crazy. I'm sure they're still doing it right now as they're saying that there could be a food shortage. So I think it's total bunk, and they love to scare people that way. They can manipulate people. You know, when we're scared, we're more pliable, and you know, people will believe whatever they tell them if they get scared enough. So they've already, you know, planted that seed in people's minds that there could be a food or water shortage, and who knows what they've got planned ahead.
Yeah, dude. And it's just amazing. Like, looking at this map, I'm also like so confused how like the continent of Africa predominantly import. There's one country in there that exports food. Like, that's supposed, I know that's like some of the most fertile land, right? That's where life became like, and same with South America. It's a similar thing. Like, what is going on in these third world countries? And I thought my one friend brought up a point like welfare. So like, we use welfare in the United States to keep people dependent on the government and kind of like the macro. What if we encourage these third world countries who are very poor, who probably could survive great on subsistence living like they did for thousands of years, but by giving them food, you're making them dependent on whatever the UN or whoever the Red Cross, whoever donates this food, but it's just another control mechanism. So I thought that was a good like correlation between the two, but I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that, but.
Yeah, absolutely. That's, and you mentioned the Red Cross, and when you mentioned them, you're talking about corruption. These are the guys that oversee all this stuff, and I can tell you stories about the Red Cross. I wrote about them and about all the big charities in hidden history, a little bit in Survival of the Richest too. But these people have been notorious. If you notice, whenever there's a disaster, like the earthquake in Haiti, where you know the Clinton Foundation swooped in, and you know a lot of people think that particular earthquake was geoengineered. You know, Nikola Tesla invented the earthquake machine back in the 30s or something. So I'm sure they didn't scrap that technology. And once they did it, not only did they traffic a lot of the children out of Haiti. I mean, they did some horrible things. And the people in Haiti, you mentioned Clinton to them now. Still,
right.
See what they say. But the Red Cross is at the center of all these crises. and you'll see they'll give you a donate to the Red Cross. They'll have the number you can donate to the Red Cross. And everybody, I've got tons of examples from people talking about it. The Red Cross is notorious. They had a congressman, I think it was years ago, that was just trying to sue them or whatever because they don't release the funds.
Yeah.
And they had the strange things where they release it incrementally so people don't get any kind of relief for a long time. And they have their own strategy doing it. It's absurd. And certainly the Red Cross is a typical one of these charities like the United Way where whatever help seeps through, it's very minimal because they have executives that make tons of money at the top of from your donations. You're paying people like that. And so I always urge people, don't give the Salvation Army is the only decent charity.
Well, big charity. I'm sure your research, I haven't read Survival of the Richest, unlike the other books you published, but I'm sure you came up how the Red Cross started with the Soviet Union, right? And their first, they got the rich lady's or rich guy's daughter. She organized, I can't remember her name. And the 32 people, the first, they were supposed to be docked because it was after the Bolshevik Revolution. They're there to, we need to help these poor people. They just wanted freedom. They just wanted to be free. Right. We need it. And of the 32 people they sent, I think two doctors, one nurse, the rest were industrialists and lawyers. So odd 29 people that have nothing to do with healthcare. Odd first, wave of people that are supposed to, and the doctors actually left because they weren't doing anything. They were like, you guys brought us here on a lie. We're not helping anybody. You guys are just getting contracts.
Yeah. Well, just tell yourself what, the people that are in charge of all these things, the big charities, United Way had a tremendous scandal, but nothing happened. They didn't reform themselves at all. They're still doing that. The American Cancer Society has done nothing to alleviate cancer. And I'll have stuff in Hidden History 3 about the birth of AIDS and how it was created.
The American
Cancer Society was involved in that. American Heart Association has done nothing to alleviate heart disease. all these Muscular Dystrophy Association, Jerry Lewis raised maybe trillions over the years. They made not one iota of progress because so little goes to the causes.
Yeah.
And so there's so much overhead and so many people get rich on that. And so, but nobody criticized that. I try to tell people, oh, you're just being cheap. I said, what? No, I'm not being cheap. Go give directly to the poor. Don't give to these charities because they're not going to help anybody. And, but so anytime I hear the Red Cross's name involved with anything, I say, look, it goes by, my mother-in-law told me, she was a USO girl during World War II, and she had a lot of experience with the Red Cross, and she talked about how all the World War II soldiers hated the Red Cross.
Interesting.
Because they were so bad. They were the only ones like that charged the soldiers for coffee.
Wow.
He said nobody else did that. And just a little thing like that. So, yeah. So that's... the Red Cross is not my favorite organization.
It's actually Odd Man's favorite organization. He donates regularly. He is also a Patreon subscriber. So we'll watch what we say. And just continuing on the food. So the United Nations,
something quickly?
Oh, yeah. Go for it. Of course you can, dude. Just jump in.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I do have a little funny history with the Red Cross here locally. When I was a teenager, I was a youth volunteer for the Red Cross for a short time because my stepfather was big into volunteering for the Red Cross. And he would go on these disaster relief deals where there were floods and hurricanes and tornadoes and stuff like that. And he had these stories of, I'm just going to tell you the truth, orgies, crazy wild parties. Wow. The volunteers would bring home things that were supposed to go to the people who were in need. Oh. It was insane. And he did that for a number of years. And the only reason I did it was because I could get into some of the local concerts here for free. So,
yeah.
it was just a few people I met. They did not seem like the kind of people you could trust. And from what he told me, there were a lot of degenerates in the Red Cross.
I mean, anybody who joins the Peace Org, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Like, it's like usually like hippie kind of people, free spirited or whatever, but so it makes sense. But so this going on the hunger. So the United Nations, they deleted this article because the title is called The Benefits of World Hunger. So you can see where this is going. And basically it's exactly what the title is how, why, and again, you can, it, they found it on the way back, whatever that is, you know, where they posted and they removed it, but it was saying how it's actually good to be hungry. It gets people to work manual labor jobs because they're increasing it. They've just made up benefits, but I just found that hilarious that like, they're just so elitist and out of touch. These people, like whoever wrote this, like, were you dropped on your head? You know, I don't know.
That's where we're at, isn't it? We're at that stage, isn't it? Where they're relegated to defending hunger, you know, and Joe Biden's basically saying inflation is your friend. And you know, kind of, it's, you know, this is, it's maddening, but this is what happens, Jack, when you have a situation, and it's really the unconstitutional lockdown, the COVID narrative, the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, that exposed that, you know, we're not alone. I mean, we're the wealthiest band in the Republican world, but the entire world is subservient now. And I said for a long time, we're at World War III. We've been at World War III for a couple of years because the governments of all the war of the world are at war with their own citizens. And the citizens aren't fighting back. You know, they're certainly not fighting back in America. Yeah. There's nothing. I mean, the closest we came was January 6th, and that really wasn't, and it's something to do. That was because of Trump worship, really. That really had nothing to do with any of this. And you saw what happened there. They're still in prison, denied all due process. So I kind of don't blame people for being scared to, but this is what happens when you allow these things to fester. And people like me have been talking about this stuff for decades, and we tried to tell people. This, I mean, these people are overdue for the biggest, longest, loudest, I told you so in the history of the world. Because, you know, we've been telling them for decades, you know, you just keep letting this stuff happen. And you just keep electing these idiots or not complaining that you're not electing them because they're not counting the votes. However it happens, you let them lead you. I mean, how do we get to the time where we have really a couple people, a couple of the most powerful people in the country are Joe Biden and Pelosi, at least figureheads. Both of them really would not look out of home and arrest, would not look out of place in a rest home. And they wouldn't be one of the high functioning people, either one of them, in a rest home. These are some of the most powerful people, supposedly, that we have. And you have a middle-aged Instagram girl and Kamala Harris, who's right up there, too. You have people like Mitch McConnell. These are just Lindsey Graham. These are horrible, horrible people that they're, like I said, you could get any random group of death row inmates, and I'd much rather work with him. These people have no scruples. Get the good fellows, bring the mafia. They have some kind of twisted principles. These are Bloods or Crips. Bring any of them in. They're better than what we have in. And there's no opposition. Where's the opposition? I mean, there's a handful of Republicans, maybe, and that's the entire media drools over this. I mean, how can the media sit there and say, you know, so hunger is our friend now? The benefits of, well, I guess they're trying to prepare you, you know, for food rationing, water rationing, and rolling power blackouts. This is the third world special, and we're here. We didn't get, that's why I write about hidden history, because we didn't get here by accident.
Yeah,
all this stuff was easily foreseen, and some of us saw it, have been seeing it for a long time. I still can't believe it's here. But it's because it's you know, it's like the bad science fiction movie. But we saw this coming, and we tried to tell people. And believe me, I know. I mean, I know what kind of response I got. You know, there's few people, you know, responsive to it, especially the days before the internet. They just tuned you right out because they didn't care. Things were still okay. Well, now you got shortages of everything, and things aren't okay.
I mean, anything, I know we already kind of, but anything to add about this lovely article, or any other comments?
Well, I was just thinking of the alleged quote by Henry Kissinger calling people useless eaters, which maybe he didn't say it, but we know that's the way they think of people. And it's just kind of ironic that they have this here, this article. It's insane that people have put up with what they've put up with, you know. And if we had someone who was intelligent but had the fortitude that Trump had, who was popular in the media, to actually stand up for us and call these people out and tell the world they're full of crap, and you're just kind of – people need a real leader, someone who's intelligent, not just bombastic, who can kind of give them some direction, because I feel like people are just kind of lost now, and they don't know what to do.
Well, this is a perfect segue. let me just stop the screen because I've got, you're saying you're looking for a politician who's going to change it up. And I think I have the guy's solution. So this is a new political ad by Jerome Davison for Congress. And just take it. Let's just watch this. This is the guy I want.
Democrats like to say that no one needs an AR-15 for self-defense. That no one could possibly need all 30 rounds. But when this rifle is the only thing between your family and a dozen angry Democrats and clan leaders, you just might
need to smile. So for anyone just listening, it was a guy with an AR-15 in his house. The Klan is coming after him because he's obviously black. And he walks out with his shades and his suit on with an AR-15, and the Klan goes running. So that's the guy that could save America. And so, Don, what are you voting for? Are you going to Arizona to vote for this guy?
I'm afraid I've cast my last vote. I said when Trump in 2016, I voted for Trump, first Republican I ever voted for in my life.
Wow.
And I voted independent pretty much the entire time. I voted for Jimmy Carter in 76, my first vote, because I was a Democrat then. And that was it. And other than that, I voted all, you know, Ross Perot a couple times, Ralph Nader, Pat Buchanan, Linda LaRouche, people like that. I'd vote for people had no chance. I knew it. And but I couldn't vote for the Republicans and Democrats. Trump. I said, you know, this is, I know this is 99%. This is a psyop, it's a joke. He doesn't mean it. He's a, you know, he's the guy who said you're fired. You know, he's a reality TV star. He's a billionaire. But I figured, you know, what the hell? If his rhetoric is really good most of the time. And I said at the time, that was our last hope. He was our last hope. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened. He had 4 years. He didn't do anything except get in food fights and then ended up, losing another, but I mean, all the elections are rigged, but yeah. That one was obviously rigged against him. So now we are where we are. And as Odd Man Out said earlier, you know, people are looking for something. They're looking. And most people, Jack, in life, you find the vast majority of people are followers. There are very few leaders out there. And a leader on this scale, you need somebody really special. And Trump has some of those qualities. But as Odd Man Out said, he's bombastic. That's what he mostly is. And he's so arrogant, so full of, to what degree he's an actor and this is his ego is real. I don't know, but it's all about him. And you need a leader that a John F. Kennedy type or Huey Long would be great. But we haven't had any of those for a long time. So I think at this point, politics is dead. There's no point in even talking about it. The only hope we have is that, and I still talk about it all the time, of course. I don't know why, because I'm just addicted to it. It's like a drug, you know.
Right.
I can't stop. But, the only thing we can possibly hope for is that people start to affect change at the local level. So, you know, maybe some of these school boards get impacted and you get some of these horrible tyrants out at that level. Because when you look at these things, and the one good thing out of this pandemic did, just like the one good thing Trump did, was to bring out the roaches out the public, and people saw how bad they were. And at the same thing, what happened with the pandemic is that the roaches at the lower level came out, and people started saying, nobody knew who Lori Lightfoot and people like that were before. These are the cretins that, again, the people at local levels have allowed to get in power. These people have power. They shouldn't even be assistant supervisors at a gas station. They have no ability to lead. They're corrupt beyond belief with whatever little power they have. And this is from top to bottom of the systems. Like I said, there maybe there's an honest dog catcher somewhere. I don't know. But beyond above that level, they're all corrupt. And the school board, I'm right in the heart of this. Loudoun County is right next to my neighboring county.
Yeah, right.
That's where the epicenter of this was. Now, I haven't heard much about it lately. So I don't know. Did the angry parents, of course, it's some indication that the angry parents stopped getting angry. I don't know. I don't know how many of those school board members lost their positions or will. But if we can't affect change at that level, then it's just, we're just have to wait for Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. That's all we can do. Because if we can't do it at that level, and my hope was that you start at the school boards, maybe. Then you get some honest mayors. You know, Dennis Kucinich started as a mayor. Dennis Kucinich was the boy mayor of Cleveland. He was a populist mayor, and he was a great mayor. Okay. And he made headlines nationally because he was a populist. Even at that level, populism can work.
Yeah.
So you get some populist mayors out there. You get some. You have more state legislators that are decent. You start getting a bunch of them, so they can affect some local legislation and do something about police corruption. Start getting some police in there that aren't corrupt, that kind of thing. And then maybe eventually you can start getting some governors. You know, and I'm not talking about DeSantis or whatever. I don't know to what degree any of these guys are any good. I mean, but that aren't bought and paid for. But and then eventually maybe you can worry about the national level. But change has to come from the bottom up.
Right.
But at this point, when they're throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us, food shortages, water shortages, power blackouts, a different variant of the same stupid virus that is the only virus in the history of the world that will never go away. It just is immortal. It's like a superhero virus. They continue to bring it back. So it's nonstop fear porn. People are distracted by it. So it's very hard to concentrate on anything beyond that, to even try to affect change. And it's not easy. I would love to be optimistic, but you know, when I'm on every week with Jeff Rentz, so if you think I'm pessimistic, I'm the optimistic one. I try to be more. He's worse than me, but and that's what it is right now. It's hard not to be, because we look around and where do you see hope? I mean, most people, millions of people, still think Trump is hope. And he isn't. Who else is there? There's nobody to lead us. And even if they did, you need to have a majority of honest people in Congress, which I don't think America's ever had in their history, an honest majority. So that's certainly not going to happen today, but you have to have that to affect any kind of change. And I just don't see it happening.
No, I think that's fair. Odd man. So are you moving the family over to Arizona to cast this vote?
Well, I have to say he looked pretty cool, but no, it's all a show. You know, it's what's the guy, Dan Crenshaw, jumping out of the airplane in his, his promo video. So, you know, it's more of that. And I'm like, Don, I just don't have any faith in these guys on the top levels, especially, but even at the local levels, it's like we have here Glenn Jacobs, who's a libertarian, and he's done some pretty good stuff for, you know, as a mayor. Okay. But, you know, it has helped a little bit. But, you know, these guys, even the ones that are kind of good, they have the deck stacked against them in such a way that it's hard for them to get much done. And, you know, you just kind of, you know, I don't say there's no chance. I never say there's no chance whatsoever, but I have a little faith that the politics and politicians are going to turn things around. I think it's going to have to be the people who demand better and really hold the people accountable. I think the only way forward is a minarchy, a minimalist government, which we're at the very opposite of, and I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Well, there was maybe you guys would rather vote for the twerking lady who was the state legislator in Delaware, who was twerking on the beach for votes. So you have your choices here. So don't say you don't have options.
Well, the talent out there. America's got talent, folks.
Don, I'm sure if you went back to your younger self in 1970, whatever, and said, would you believe there's a politician in your life that's in a bikini shaking their butt on TV for an ad, I bet you wouldn't have believed yourself.
No. And I would have hoped that maybe it would have been more attractive too. No offense to her, but see somebody twerk, what a Jane Fonda type or something. But unfortunately, those aren't the ones who twerk usually. But it's just, I mean, again, that's the idiocracy element. And that's everything baked in here is, you have this idiocracy meets the oligarchy, and it's just this crushing corruption, the monumental incompetence, and this kind of lunacy. This is right out of Idiocracy. I mean, Idiocracy didn't even catch twerking. The twerking and the TikTok nature, that kind of thing, where people are just so dumbed down, it's beyond belief. I mean, if you watch sometimes, like if I get a haircut, they might have one of those stupid ones. It's on. I think it's the NBC, whatever. But and they ought to just. It's the one with Jetta Bush, you know, Bush's daughter on it. I mean, oh God, she's all these alleged journalists are bad, but she's. I think she's the worst I've ever seen. She is literally You can tell she got W's intelligence naturally. I mean, I don't. She's literally at a preschool. She is so dumb. It's beyond belief. And listening to her and that, I don't know what the hell the Bonar or whatever, the one with the crazy name. I don't know what her name is, but they're the ones that do that show. And I you can't turn it off. And it's like you're at the Guantanamo Bay. And they really ought to use that show. It's torture. You use that show, use The View, pipe it in. You know, you don't have to waterboard. I guarantee you the average Muslim would be more turned off by The View than he would be to waterboard. So you listen to that stuff and just listening to it, it's like, it's so dumb. I don't know how anybody, I feel my brain cells dying when I'm watching it. It's dumbed down to a level. I would be offended again if I was in elementary school, you know, trying to watch that because it's so stupid. And it's like what we see at the political level. Look at Kamala Harris and say, see, there's a country. And right next to it, it's a bigger country. I mean, it's that level. And that's where we're at. And unfortunately, so many millions of Americans have been dumbed down to that level. They can accept that. It's like, you know, when when you have kids, one of the games you play with the kids when they're really little, it shoots them ladders. So it's not a game adults would ever play.
Right.
It's really boring. And it's for really little kids or, you know, watching Barney, the purple dinosaur or something. But we're at that level now where a lot of these people could play chutes and ladders, I think, but no problem at all. It's at their intellectual level. And that's what they're doing when they're watching these things. And I just look at it. It's like, you know, they don't have to tell people like that to cover up. Because they're so stupid, they're just naturally going to do it. And that's where we're at, where they don't have to tell most of these people what to say because they just instinctively know. And they know it's like their radar goes off when somebody asks a question about corruption or something. They know, they frown like a teacher, you know, you're causing trouble in the class, you're disrupting the class. That's basically what it's that. So that's why I for a long time I said it was corruption and incompetence. It's a horrible mixture we have.
Yeah,
but now you've got a third element in there, which is genuine madness, and that's where you get in the transgender stuff with the people out there. They're absolutely insane, where they look like they went to Arkham Asylum or something, and they unleash the most, you know, interesting mental patients and put them in positions of power. And what can you say about somebody like Lori Lightfoot or Rachel Levine? I mean, these are right out of the page of supervillains. It's like they're just so bad. And so that's where we're at, man. We have all the combination, and then you have this corruption, incompetence, and madness is ruling a population that is largely an idiocracy now. So it's quite a mixture there for you.
Odd man, are the people getting smarter or dumber?
I'll say a very finite amount are getting smarter, and the rest, the vast majority, are getting dumber. And I was trying to find this quote by Neil Postman. It was something about, eventually, people will just be communicating in a form of baby talk, but I couldn't find it. But he did have this one, and it said that most of our daily news is inert, and it consists of information that gives us something to talk about, but it cannot lead to anything meaningful. Oh, I can't talk. Forgive me. No, but anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's exactly where we are. It's like, you know, the news is just almost as bad as The View these days. It's just this dumb opinion, dumbed down opinion. You should be mad at this. You know, it's just just pure outrage. This is what you need to be outraged about. And then people kind of get that. It's kind of like their orders. They take those orders and they go to work or wherever they go the next day. And they want to talk about it. You know, can you believe this? And there's nothing meaningful about it. It's useless. You know, we have, and I think one of the worst things is, and with a lot of, you know, talk radio too, is it's just as bad as the news almost, because it makes people feel informed though they're not informed. And there's an arrogance that comes with ignorance that is just horrible. You know, it's like almost worse than people not knowing anything. So
I like that's kind of that. That's nice. That's what I was arrogance is, or what'd you say? Arrogance is, there's arrogance with ignorance.
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. And I've already forgotten.
No, that's good.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Have you seen, so like now, obviously the news is so opinionated, just like Oddman was saying, But did you, looking back, do you, because older people, they'll often say, like, I love when Walter Cronkite just told you the news. And obviously that's not totally true. Like they, but did you see this type of opinionated stuff? No. Like, obviously it got to a new degree, but what was it like, you know, in the 70s or 80s, like news and stuff, news channels?
Yeah, well, they hid it better. They hid their bias better. Okay. But, you know, somebody like me that was tuned into the JFK assassination as a teenager, I was, you know, my spidey sense was always out for that. And I knew what I basically judged these people how they stood on that issue. You know, the corruption really got ratcheted up, you know, especially by the 90s. So a lot of these things hadn't happened yet. But I knew how they acted towards the JFK assassination, MLK and RFK, and how they covered up desperately for this. Walter Cronkite, you know, he was hosted and he went out. He lived to be 90 some years old, and the son of a bitch never, you know, he never recanted near the end of his life. Even he went out, you know, he made near the end of his speech. He said, I have to sit at the right hand of Satan or something. If you've read that speech before.
Oh, I have.
Halfway joking, but he wasn't joking. You know, remember Walter Cronkite was the voice of the owl at Bohemian Grove for decades.
No way. Yes, really?
He was the voice of the owl. So that's where he was. So Walter Cronkite was there, but certainly he sold it better. And he was, you didn't have the incompetence factor. So now you have these people that are just complete blithering idiots. Walter Cronkite, even Dan Rather, they could read their lines better and sound somber, sound serious. And you didn't have the idiocracy element yet. You know, they wouldn't have shown people twerking or anything like that. That wouldn't have made the news. So they were attempting to do serious news. They just covered it up. But they, as I said at the time, you know, the corruption has always been there, but there was a competence with it. You had people like, you know, even into like Reagan, where there still was a competence there. You had certain confidence that that the streets were going to be plowed when it snowed, and people, when the power wasn't going off in a strong wind. And now, of course, we don't have that confidence anymore. So you have the corruption's even worse, and you don't have that. You have the incompetence factor. So yeah, bottom line is there were no good newsmen then either. And they all you need to know about that is right within 2 days of the Kennedy assassination, NBC News. And back then, of course, in 63, you had three networks. That was it: ABC, NBC, and CBS. One of them, NBC, signed a letter, and I published it in Hidden History. It was a direct. Basically, they agreed to not publish any. To not broadcast or publish anything that was inconsistent with the FBI's report.
Wow.
So they basically said, oh, we're not going to do any investigation. So they document. Of course, CBS and ABC did the same thing. We just don't have a document showing it. And that's the way they've always. All you need to know about Walter Cronkite is what one of those CBS specials where they attempted, because, you know, even at that time, by the time of the late 60s, the public was overwhelmingly skeptical and thought that Oswald hadn't acted alone. So they weren't used to that. I don't know why the public is, because that's the only issue they've really ever been overwhelmingly majority skeptical. I guess it was just so ridiculous when they had a Ruby shoot Oswald in the middle of 70 police officers. And all that. It was just so outrageous. Even and people were smarter than, again, the American people weren't quite as dumb then. They probably were, you know, average of 20, 30 IQ points on average than what we have today. I mean, Alex Jones talks about, I think it's every generation has lost 10 average IQ points. So we're a lot dumber today than we were then. But when he was, they had one of these specials, Walter Cronkite was talking. their own test, of course, as all tests have showed, that Oswald couldn't have fired off three shots in the amount of time with his weapon. Impossible. So once again, they're genuine experts who were top marksmen from the NRA. Oswald was a mediocre shot, according to the Marines. But they didn't use people like him, and they still couldn't match what he did. So Walter Cronkite looked at the screen and he said, "Now it may seem like that top marksman couldn't make this this shot than Lee Harvey Oswald couldn't have. But remember, this was a different situation. Oswald was shooting at the president." That's what he said. Oswald was shooting at the president.
He can't miss. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And he actually said that. So that's all you need to know about. That's Walter Cronkite in a show right there. He was shooting at the president.
Now I got a good response for when the older guys in my office do that. The whole, they all, and it's not just one guy, two or three of them will say, Walter Cronkite just told you the news. And I always am like, oh, dude, no, I don't think so. You're way off on that. But, you know, it is what it is.
Wasn't he also a World Federalist for quite a long time? Yeah. I remember watching he won an award. I think it was the Norman Cousins Award, if I'm not mistaken. Or it was at one of the World Federalist events.
Who was that?
That may have been where he made that speech, Walter Cronkite. Okay. That may have been where he made that speech. He made a speech where he closed it with, I'm proud to sit. And he was, you know, people say he was being sarcastic, but he said, like, I'm proud to sit at the right hand of Satan or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah.
Like, you know, but, you know, he lived to be 95 or whatever, you know, and it's like the good they die young, as they say. And he never recanted anything. You know, these guys don't, on their deathbeds, you think at that point, okay, they've done their service. You're 90 some years old. What can they do to you? They still, I guess they sell their souls. I don't know. They still, none of them have recanted anything. They never, you know, they just Gerald Ford did something. Henry Kissinger's 99 somehow. And he's,
God.
Yeah, he's the first obese. He's going to be he's the first obese 90-year-old in the history of the world. I can tell you that. And he's going to be the first obese 100, I guess. So tell me they don't have secret technology there. Huh? You go to any old aged home ever and see if you see anybody in their 70s or 80s that even look like Henry Kissinger. Not going to find it.
Two of the most evil men ever, him, David Rockefeller and Kissinger, and they both live to be so old. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. Well, who was the not Dave, the other, the first, like the main Rockefeller? Was
no,
his name David
Nelson?
Too?
No, Nelson. Nelson Rockefeller was the vice president. He may have been murdered, but he died while having sex with the secretary. They claimed it was a
heart. No way. Did he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the well. You know, I can't. It's never been proven, but that's what most people in the know think. Yeah, because that's or you know he could have. It's possible somebody knocked him off as well because he's the only Rockefeller that died. You know, in the 60s or 70s or something. Because the old man, the original guy, John D. Rockefeller, that handed out dimes to street kids. You know, he lived to be 100, and David lived to be 99, I think. So.
Well, and I know John, he lived for a long time too, and he was drinking he said breast milk was the key to life, a long, vigorous life. So he would drink breast milk every morning. I'm sure he got that sustainable, paid well, green, eco-friendly, green deals, getting his nursemaids to
get it. I think it's more adrenochrome. He was probably getting adrenochrome.
Well, that's, yes, exactly. Maybe that's where they made the switch. They said, okay, it's not milk. Let's go another liquid in the body that might be better. So the other article I wanted to bring up was, I forgot to share it here. So I found this so interesting that, and not that people don't know this, but the title of the article from The Atlantic is The Details About CIA's Deal with Amazon. And it was a $600 million computing cloud built by an outside, the Pentagon, the CIA, they paid Amazon $600 million to help create a more centralized way to monitor people. So all 17 agencies in the intelligence community could, you know, not have the quote unquote intelligent gaps that made September 11th happen. So we'll switch it up. So Oddman, I know you didn't read the article, but I'm sure you can make these like connections of private company getting $600 million from tax dollars to spy. And just wanted to, so I'll let you start Oddman, what your thoughts are on that type of, scenario or that model that's been going on for a long time.
Well, you know, I can't say it surprises me one bit. I mean, you know, the technocracy part, you know, the way the technologies come along, and of course it benefits us, but it's a double-edged sword. It's a dream come true for, you know, the oligarchs and the CIA types and the Pentagon, the military industrial complex, because it just allows them to work with these monopolies, and they always have worked with monopolies for the longest time. But technology is just they're two peas in a pod, I guess you'd say. And nobody's going to stop using Amazon. Very few people. I actually talked to a person the other day, a friend who is. He said, "I'm done with Amazon. I just ended my Prime membership," but the majority of people, they're never going to do anything like that. And, the only way you can could prevent the government from working with these big companies is stop doing business with these big companies and let them know why. And that's not going to happen. And it's very dangerous because, you know, even with the Tavistock Institute way back when, they were talking about the idea of future would be public-private partnerships. And of course, Brzezinski talked about that. And so it's scary, but it seems like that's where things are leading.
Interesting, dude. Don, what are your thoughts on that lucky deal? That'll help Amazon's stock price, though, so that's a win.
Well, I mean, the CIA has been involved with everything else. I mean, certainly had Mockingbird Media, Operation Mockingbird. We know, and I wrote about that in on Borrowed Fame, my book on Chokas. I talked about the CIA, the power they have in Hollywood. They have a significant power over. They get script approval to shows like 24. I mean, the CIA basically wrote that show.
Interesting.
It's like the military and the CIA, Hollywood does not make a movie. Well, they can make a movie without their approval, but then they don't get to, if they do it without the military, the Pentagon's approval, they don't get to use any of the equipment or any of the locations. And with the CIA, I guess, you know, maybe they're scared they're going to send a hit squad out or whatever, because they definitely have approval from the CIA. And that's why, you know, Oliver Stone's JFK was pretty much one of the few times, you know, in history that he didn't name the CIA, but he said enough about the CIA in connection to the JFK assassination.
I see.
It was something amazing, really, compared to what it usually is. The CIA has a tremendous power. And, I can remember when liberals, back when I was a liberal, used to talk about the budgets of the CIA and the FBI and the NSA, and because all these budgets are secret. They're still secret.
Yes. Yeah,
nobody. So we have no idea what they're. I mean, not only we don't even know the amount, let alone what they're spending on. I mean, they could have itemized in their hit squad because somebody's killing all these people.
Right.
So you know, but we don't. So we don't even. And again, I don't see anybody demanding it. You know, hey, we need to open disclosure. Why are these budgets secret? But they are, and so we don't know what kind of deal it's the CIA or what kind of kickbacks they're getting or giving or whatever, you know, to something like Amazon. We already know has one of the greatest corporate welfare deals in the history of the world, with the post office basically opening on Sundays just to deliver their packages.
I didn't think of that, but so could you? What do you mean by that? A sweetheart deal?
Well, they instead of Amazon having to pay, you know, I'm sure whatever it is, it gets that a lot cheaper.
Right.
Amazon and the post office was never open on Sundays before.
No.
And you know, they also came with, you know, post office used to pay their workers really well to start.
Right. Yes.
And you know, my son was going to get a job with them years ago, and he didn't take it because they basically said, we can work you 360 days a year if we want to, and you'll work every Sunday, because Amazon has a thriving business. And so not all their packages get delivered on Sunday, right, but they have so many things going out that they need that extra day. And I don't know the details of the deal they cut with Amazon.
Right.
But it is a sweetheart deal, because essentially, I don't know anything else that gets delivered. We don't get regular mail on Sunday.
No.
But it's just basically for Amazon business. So these mergers and these kinds of things are out there, and they're not talked about very much. But again, there's so many of these people that are in bed together, and certainly Amazon and the CIA. I can't think of a more disreputable pair than that. That's quite a duo there.
Well, and so you brought up an interesting point. So I don't know where I heard this, but I want your guys'. So just like how you said that the Hollywood needs to get the Pentagon's approval if they want to use their equipment or bases or whatever, someone brought up like the Vatican and the Da Vinci Code and how hard it would have been to the Da Vinci Code basically is teaching you that, if anyone hasn't seen the movie or read the book, this is a spoiler, but that Jesus had a bloodline with Mary Magdalene. It was hidden in France, blah, blah, blah. And they've been, it's this, I forget the name of the bloodline that they call it, but the Merovingians were theirs, and they're still a living Merovingian. The Priory of Scions, the secret society that manages this bloodline, famous people like Newton and stuff. But anyway, so basically it's refuting what's taught in the Bible, but the Vatican allowed them, which is super hard to do, allowed the Da Vinci Code to film inside the Vatican teaching like a blasphemous story. And so I thought that was a really fair point. And I don't know, Oddman, if you have anything to that you wanted to add to that, or your thoughts on that, of like, why would they do, like, what is the reasoning behind this?
That one's hard to explain, because it's not like the Vatican or the Pope or any of those guys really need a lot of money. And so I don't think that finances was a factor in that. So that's a great point. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in the meeting when they decided to allow it. It's very interesting. I've never even thought about that, really.
Yeah, I know. I'm putting you on the spot there. But Don, do you have any thoughts? Can you think why they would do that?
I was raised a Catholic, a fallen Catholic, but and I still have I still call myself a Catholic. But I've known for a long time. For instance, the Jesuits have tremendous power for the Vatican, and I think it used to be that the overwhelming majority of Jesuit students did not believe in the divinity of Christ. So obviously that contradicts everything about Catholicism and Christianity. And I don't think they believe in the Immaculate Conception. These are foundational principles.
Yeah, right.
Catholicism. So I don't know, when I believe that the first Pope John Paul I was murdered by insiders at the Vatican. And you had a guy named Bishop Paul Marcinkus that was there. He was the banker at the Vatican. He was basically a mobster from Chicago.
Right. Yeah,
and somehow he ends up in the Vatican, and they had all kinds of money laundering and crazy stuff going on there. There's a lot of corruption there, and I don't know how much, not to mention obviously all the stuff the priests have done and covered up, altar boys. But nothing they do at this point surprises me. It's a shame that there's so much corruption there, but it doesn't surprise me that they would. Because certainly you're right; they should be utterly offended at that. What?
Right.
Jesus having a bloodline with Mary Magdalene. That is as about as blasphemous as it gets. But to allow that is amazing. It shows how things have changed. As recently as 30, 40 years ago, you had something called the Catholic League of Decency.
Yes.
Which would have gone nuts over that.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess, do they still exist? They don't have such power as NAMDL, I don't think, now. Actual Man Boy Love Association. I haven't heard a peep out of them, but they should be. We should be hearing from them constantly, shouldn't we, about transgenders and everything?
Right.
They must not exist anymore, but they would have gone nuts on something like that.
They were a formidable force, correct? Like, I know, I forget when they started. And if it wasn't them, there was also like a communist like watch right now.
Oh, yeah.
They could blacklist. Like, that was how strong these that are warring about the moral fiber. And now, if you brought that up, you'd be laughed at.
You had the Hayes Code, which was from Will Hayes in Hollywood. It's from 1935, started 1935 up into the 60s. And no nudity, no excessive blood or violence, no certain themes, no unmarried couples could be sitting on a bed together, lots of puritanical stuff.
Right, right.
But it was driven by the Catholic League of Decency and groups like that. And so now, I mean, just imagine. I mean, the things have changed so much, because it really did used to be, especially, long before I was born, but it was a much more conservative type of especially the culture. And it's only really within the last incrementally, it's gone crazy within the last 5 years or so, where things are on warp speed now, and it's there. And again, I don't see much of an objection. Do you see? They're telling people that they're literally. I mean, like this guy Tucker had him on. I didn't get to see much of it tonight. That guy was again. He's a USA Today reporter, so he's a typical liberal. He's nothing special, and he just tweeted out something. Can we say people who give birth are women or something very non-controversial? Right, and they demoted him, and then he ended up quitting for that. So that's where we are, where you literally can't, if you say, man, it happened to J.K. Rowling, she was about as liberal as it gets, but she found out you don't go up against the transgender community. So people, and you have doctors, professors, colleges, they're getting fired or reprimanded all the time for saying, not saying birthing persons. But saying women give and not saying that, not saying that they not acknowledging that men can have babies. I don't know how you fight that, and I don't know how there's not an opposition. I mean, imagine the Catholic, obviously the Catholic League of Decency was around. I mean, what would they be doing on that? They'd be spinning around in circles. I mean, it's But I don't see anybody. I mean, Tucker Carlson and a few other people in the mainstream media kind of talk about it, Candace Owens, people like that. But there's no real effect. If some Republicans grumble a little bit, but the entire corporate world now is woke. They're all going at it, and there's no dissent allowed. There's no company. The Mike Lindell, about it. I mean, the MyPillow guy, that's, right. He's about it. I mean, there's no other big company that goes against it. So that's where we're at, Matt. We've got a completely woke culture now, and anything goes.
Ah, man, any thoughts? I got one other article I wanted to get your guys' takes on, but anything you wanted to add on, man?
No, man. Don said it is much better than I could. I mean, it's unbelievable. These things are going on, and there's little to no pushback. Even, you know, and I feel like, you know, a lot of these big Protestant ministers have become such a sham that no one even respects them. So they're not even going to bother to even talk about these things, you know. You know, somebody like Chuck Baldwin or some smaller, you know, minister might speak out against those things, but he's not going to get any attention, you know, compared to these other guys. So, yeah, it's a sad situation because it's almost like anything goes. And real quick, I'll just say this. I watched a little short video by Camille Paglia, and she was going through all these different cultures and how she said, like, throughout history, all these different cultures were just a little while before they collapsed, a couple decades, three, 4 decades before they collapsed, they would turn to androgyny. And the more elite, more wealthy people would turn sort of towards this androgynous lifestyle because they believed they were better and more intelligent than the traditional lifestyle. And then not too long after that, collapse.
Wow, dude, you got to send me that video. Don looks like he knows what you're talking about. I don't even know.
Well, I know Camille Paglia. She's very, very interesting. I thought she's because, you know, she's I think she's a lesbian. I'm pretty sure she's a lesbian. She certainly was a super feminist, but she's been arguing against the, she's like me, you know, because I still consider myself a leftist. I was a radical, but it's all I do is criticize the left because they're completely insane and they don't care about the traditional leftist issues like peace. Civil liberties, you know, corruption, that kind of reform. They don't care about that. The environment, they don't care about the environment. They talk about climate change. If they cared about the environment, they'd be talking about the BP oil spill. I was just, in Hidden History 3, I came up, I found the body count for the BP oil spill. Pretty impressive.
Wow, I can't wait till you release that.
This is the greatest ecological disaster in modern times. Greta Thunberg, Al Gore, none of them mention BP. It's because it's not about that. It's not climate change isn't about the environment at all. They don't tell all they talk about is they want you to lower your standard of living. That's all it's about. Yeah. You give up things. You give up and that's the new normal. No hot water for you. And now lots less food, lot less water, to drink, rolling blackouts. You don't need that electricity. You know, we'll have it up in the mansion, of course, but you know, you don't get it. But this is where it is. I mean, and again, there's nobody arguing against it. They're just the ineffective Republicans over there. I call them the Republic cucks because they're just sitting over there and they're just kind of wincing a little bit and they might mumble a little bit, you know, to themselves, but there's no effective opposite. They're not even counter punchers. They're just getting pummeled nonstop and just standing there at a daze, you know, and we need to throw in the towel on the Republican.
Well, and also I like this mentality of no standing up or pushing back, like the military and police, they're changing these rules. Like the military, they use the poke and they use, you know, they're making it. So if you don't get along, if you don't go along, you're going to get kicked out. And so what that does is it's going to be able to totally change. So the military and the police, which have been, you know, recently very voting Republican, will get more and more to the left, and you'll have a blue-haired soldier unit who's yelling at enemies about their pronouns, and that's it. But
you still have that, and that's why I keep trying to tell these conservatives, like, you know, what are you doing talking about law and order? I mean, during the summer of 2020, did you see what happened? The police stood down, and when they didn't stand down, they kneeled down next to the protesters.
So true.
They didn't arrest anybody, but what did, after they waved you into the Capitol on January 6th, a lot of people got beat up then. One of them got killed by a cop. Nothing happened to him. And you can see the difference, the way they – all those protests, the police just stood there and did nothing. All the statues were torn down. It did nothing Trump let that go on forever. And so, again, this is the left should love today's police. The left should love today's military. What is there to love about that? I mean, General Milley? Who? So the right needs to reexamine themselves and say, what law and order? We have too many laws and we don't have any order because, we saw that. But I mean, this is there's no rule of law.
Yeah.
How are you respecting that? You want to crack down on law and order? You've had political prisoners that have been in prison for over a year that had all due process. And now you have congressional hearings live that are completely making it impossible for them to ever get any even halfway fair trial. Unprecedented. Yeah. And again, nobody but me is talking. Nobody's saying, how can you allow this to go on? How do you think they're ever going to get any kind of a trial? I mean, they let alone that you've kept them in prison for over a year. But I don't see any civil libertarians. I don't see Jonathan Turley or people like that that are sometimes good on things. I don't see them outraged by it. I don't see anybody to talk about. This isn't out. They're still talking about what these stupid hearings are, Cassidy Hutchinson and things like that. It's like, why are you even paying attention to this? This is absurd. These are people that committed misdemeanors that they committed anything. And I don't know. It's
absolutely,
it's crazy.
Odd man, do you have any before my last article? Because I really want your guys. So any last thing on what the world does? Do you guys know who Frank Rizzo is, the mayor, Philly mayor?
Philly.
That's sure. What the world needs today. But okay, odd man, go ahead.
No, I don't have that much to add. I mean, I totally agree with what Don is saying. It's unbelievable. No one's standing up really and pointing out these things. I mean, I know you and I, Jack, were on with a fellow who actually was at the Gen 6 thing and didn't do anything except be there and got in a lot of trouble. And I know people personally, I know at least two people personally that were there that said the cops just waved them on by. So, it was the biggest farce I've ever seen in my life. That was all about the photo op and the video op and getting that narrative.
Yeah.
That's all that was about.
I totally agree, dude. So the last article I wanted your guys, I know if you guys don't mind, if you have to go, that's totally, but so this article just came out, I think today, or yesterday. What's today? Yeah, the 6th. So Joe Biden reportedly exports 5 million oil barrels despite U.S. gas prices. So basically what the article is saying is that we literally sent 5 million barrels of oil from our emergency reserves. And we already have been dropping, our reserves are at the lowest levels since they were at 86, but were we giving that to Americans to lower gas prices? No. We're sending 5 million barrels of oil for Europe. So we sent that these two big oil companies, Phillips 66 and another one, sent away Americans' gas for Europe to probably sell at exorbitant prices in Europe. What they're buying, but I just found that so sickening. That again, we were started the show with food shortage and sending food out when your people are supposedly don't have enough food. And this is another example of how globalism has ruined this country. So Don, you can lead it. I know you didn't read the article, but I like that.
No, but I'm familiar with that. I think actually sending some to China supposedly too, which is even more amazing. But bring on the preschoolers. I mean, you tell preschoolers, we have a shortage of gas, because of this terrible Putin. So should we send gas to other countries? No, that would be stupid. I mean, again, the average preschooler can tell you that. Apparently, our leaders can't. And again, that's why if people, I quote this all the time, James Forrestal, first Secretary of Defense under Truman, pushed out of a window of Bethesda Naval Hospital. They claimed
he jumped, Dave.
Exactly. He had to jump. He was good friends with Joe McCarthy, another unfairly, the Hidden History 3, I'll have a lot of stuff about McCarthy, very unfairly maligned. Another guy that was killed at Bethesda Naval Hospital, too, right after his friend was. But he knew Forrestal was killed, by the way, too. He talked about it all the time. But Forrestal told him, he said, McCarthy, if this wasn't all because of a huge conspiracy, once in a while they'd make a mistake in our favor.
Yes.
And that's it. They never make a mistake in our favor. This is not random. It's not random that we always just happen to have the biggest idiots on the planet in charge of things. We always in Washington, D.C., we always have. I mean, you go back to Mark Twain that talked about there's no native criminal class except for Congress. Will Rogers, the public's never safe when Congress is in session. This has always been the case. And I'm telling you, that just cannot happen randomly. You would have some good people besides Huey Long and JFK and a few people like that you would have some good people, and some of them would rise up to the top and wouldn't be assassinated by lone deranged nuts who only go after the good people. But people just they don't understand. They think this is all this. There's nothing random about this at all. Anybody, again, if there was one adult in the room and any intelligence, any foresight, they would be virtually everything they're doing is wrong. Obviously, and I can't believe that they're just happen to be doing everything wrong. They're doing it because of the reason they're trying to collapse things for, and I don't really understand why they're trying to collapse things, but they clearly are. And this is something where we shouldn't have to worry about rolling blackouts in a first world country. We shouldn't have to worry about water shortage or food shortage. Just this is stuff that, you know, maybe Guatemala had to worry about in the past or something. But and we shouldn't have to worry about the monkeypox. That was a disease from Africa. What about this fantastic medical industrial complex? I mean, now you're so bad that we have to worry about monkeypox? Nobody tells it. Everybody's just saying, yeah, it's really great. Call your doctor. You know, it's everything. You know, the Fire Sign Theater, a great comedy troupe way back when, and they had an expression. I'd used it many times. Everything you know is wrong. And that applies to the American population today. Everything they know is wrong. They're like a computer program that has had all the wrong information put into it. Boot it up and see what happens. And that's when you get America 2.0.
I love it. That was perfect. Odd man. So do you think are we being kind? Maybe these oil companies, they want to help Europe as well. It was a tough decision in the boardroom. What's your take?
I mean, on the surface, you would think that would make the case for all the people that say we should just drill here, you know, and you would think that people would be just absolutely irate out in the streets protesting these kinds of things, you know. I mean, so many people are struggling because of these gas prices. Like, I have had a hard time getting the oil to change the oil in both of our vehicles because of this whole thing. Yeah. So it's strange, but it's just crazy where we're at on this issue and what people are willing to put up with and people are willing to suffer, you know, to actually suffer monetarily because of this ridiculousness. There's so many things they could do to make things better on the people as far as gas prices go, you know, half a dozen things at least, and they're not doing them. And people aren't really all that upset about it. They're complaining, but they're not really like, hey, you know, this is what you need to do. You could be doing this, that, or the other. And it's just crazy. It's a weird time, man. It's a strange time because I never thought that the American people would put up with so many things the things that we've seen since COVID. It's just blown my mind. Every day I wake up and I can't believe that this is where we are and the people are putting up with it.
I love it, dude. And it reminds me of in World War II when Standard Oil got called out for sending oil to Spain so it could go to the Nazis. And I forget what they said. They like made up a lie. Either they're going to the Bahamas, then to the Nazis, or Spain. And they just said, oh, no, we're not giving it to the Nazis. We're giving it to these people here who are they're trading it with some of them or whatever. It's just the same. I mean, again, the same exact things they do over and over again. But so this, Don, where can people find you? Thank you. And first, I called you Dave because there's a guy, Dave, in the chat. So I don't know if you heard that 10 minutes ago. So
no,
that was,
I didn't hear it.
No, oh, great. Well, I wanted to apologize. Dave,
I've been called worse than Dave. And we're in the chat.
But so where can they find you, Don, and all those good things?
I now have a website courtesy of our friend Tony Artiburn. It's donaldjeffries.media. So you can go there and you can find I'm very active on Substack. I'm getting a growing presence there. So you can find under articles, you can find that. My old blog is there. Information about my shows, you know, I Protest is here on the same on Rockfin at Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern. And you could, you know, my books are out there. My newest one is On Borrowed Fame about showbiz and Hidden History 3. As I said, I'm pretty much completing that. I think people that like the first two history books will love it. It's got a lot of
I can't wait
amazing stuff going back to the American Revolution and tons of probably twice as much on JFK as I had in the first book. And
wow,
a lot on JFK Jr. and 9/11 and Oklahoma City and
all the usual things. When's that going to be done? I can't wait to get
it. Well, it's pretty much done. I already talked to the publisher. Now, you know, I can't guarantee Skyhorse will publish. They should, because Hidden History is one of their big sellers of all time.
That's amazing.
They don't act like it is, but it is. So hopefully they'll go for it, but I can't guarantee that. So, you know, but I have other, I could just end up publishing myself if I had to. I'd make a lot more money that way, but so that it shouldn't be, hopefully they won't take too long and drag their feet on it, but I'll be sending it off there real soon. I was just waiting for one thing. I got it. So I don't really need to do that. I need to just cut it off because I keep adding
stuff. Yeah. Right.
And I've already started Hidden History 4 because I had so much stuff. I had to move a bunch of stuff over there. I had so much material because I got these three guys, I call them the three searchers. They send me so much stuff and it's nonstop. I can't. So Hidden History 4 will tackle Trump and Biden and all that stuff.
Oh, I can't wait. And I always say this, but guys, get Don's book. I love all of his books, but the Hidden History series that's now growing is amazing. And for even if you're like just starting or whatever, want to learn more about American history, it's amazing books. So definitely check them out. Odd Man, where can the people find you? And listen, I know you're working on a dangerous series right now that I didn't want to put Don in that situation. So where can they find you? What are you working on? All those good things.
Yeah, so you can find me at theoddmanout.podbean.com and also _theoddmanout on Twitter and Instagram. And on Thursdays, I do a show usually almost every Thursday. It's called Boiler Room, and you can find that on Alternate Current Radio. I'm working on the second part to the Mormon series, and it's all about the Freemasonry aspect. And I've dug up a bunch of things I think that people will find interesting, some things that I was surprised about. And also, I will be releasing the second episode on the history of Zionism in the coming weeks, probably next week. So stay tuned for that one. I think there's some real surprises on there.
Oh boy, I can't wait, dude. The first one was great. So so thank you guys for the chat. We had about 15 people here. So thank you for everyone talking, and I'll be on tomorrow to finish part two of Operation Phoenix. So I'll see you guys later. Thanks to my awesome guests. Take care. God bless. Talk soon, people. Bye.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you.